Can you hear me now? The prayer is just for you. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 3:17. Oh, by the way, thank Greg for filling in and doing a great job, so I appreciate him filling in. Evidently, it took a lot out of him because he felt like he had to take a vacation to this week. So let's read 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I referred last week, or 2 weeks ago, I referred to this verse again, and I've referred other times, but we're going to use now as the base verses for the message to have an understanding of what the Lord is saying here. And it really is a powerful section of Scripture. It's a powerful life-changing of Scripture. It's a powerful change of how people would just look at, quote, religion. I mean, it really has a lot tied up in here. And so, as a general observation, religion has a real problem with freedom. Religion is a real problem because, by definition, well, this is how we behave in this area. This is our religion. Therefore, this is what you do. Okay? And so, religion can be tied up in all sorts of rules and regulations and all sorts of things. And may not necessarily be wrong or anything, but still it's add-ons. It's add-ons. So religion by definition, I don't think is a good term. You know, we don't want to be recognized by anyone as, well, what religion are you a part of? So we're not part of a religion. Christianity, in the truest sense, is not a religion. It's not a religion, though the outside world would look at that, and many on the inside world. And so what we have here in religion, and that it has such a problem with freedoms, you've got both Christians and non-Christians believe that there's a need for an outside set of rules to earn God's acceptance. This is what you have to do to be accepted by God. And, you know, and some people have a long list of rules and some people have a little list of rules, you know. But the reason for the rules is this: to control your behavior to be accepted by God. Now, and it's prevalent. I mean, focus on Christianity. It's prevalent throughout the church. It's just prevalent. And I don't think the Lord is pleased with it at all. Therefore, you see this verse right here, and you're thinking, wait a minute. This is throwing a twist in it that goes counter to religion. Okay, therefore, because of this, you know, and I believe that God felt it necessary in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, this whole section, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 7 through 18, that God finds it necessary to explain the difference between the Old Testament covenant of the law and the New Testament covenant of the Spirit. So he said, I'm going to address this situation. And that's what Scripture, but this is what 2 Corinthians 3:17, it's starting to focus in on this one issue. Scripture's inerrant, breathed out by God. But there's an Old Testament covenant, there's a New Testament covenant. And God goes, I'm going to explain to you the difference in these two. And this verse 17 is tied into that. Now, so what you have here when you read this, and I'm just going to kind of summarize it. I encourage you all to read it, but I just want to summarize it here. God calls, now this is what God says, God calls the Old Testament covenant, ready for this? He calls the Old Testament covenant the ministry of death and condemnation. Well, that's pretty blunt. The ministry of death and condemnation. That's the law. That's the Old Testament. Then he goes on, and he calls the New Testament covenant the ministry of the Spirit and righteousness. Now, we really need to pay attention to this. I mean, you always pay attention to the Bible and what it says, but you need to pay really close attention when the Lord puts something. I mean, these are drastic comparisons. So he's talking about his word, his breathed out word, and this is a huge statement. You just think about it. What's it? It's the ministry of condemnation and death, and here's the ministry of the Spirit and righteousness. One's religion and one's relationship with Christ. Basically. So it's like, okay. So what he does here is he explains this starting in verse 7. Starting in verse 7, he is going to explain to us the difference. He's going to explain to us. So it's right here. So I always look at something like this. I said, I wish the Lord would show me. He said, I did. It's there. It's all there. It's all there. Okay. So what we have in his explanation, starting in 2 Corinthians in verse 7, he uses Exodus chapter 34, verse 29 through 35, the Old Covenant. He uses Exodus 35 as an example to explain the difference. So there it is. So you hit the context of what he's doing here. He said, okay, I'm going to explain to you the difference. Let's go back here in Exodus. Now look at this picture. And this physical picture I am going to use to explain to you this spiritual reality that you're living in now. All right. And again, you can read the details of it. But basically what we see from Exodus is that after Moses would spend time with God, before the glory of God, he would spend time to God and God would talk to him. And then he would come out of his tent and his face would shine. His face would just be shining. Now the people, it scared them. They were afraid. That made them afraid, you know. So he couldn't even talk to them, you know. I mean, because they were afraid when they saw him come out and his face was shining. So what he does, he gets a veil and puts it on his face so they can't see his face shining. So they can't see the glory of God. So he puts a veil on it. Now he can talk to them. So that's what Exodus says. And so he would keep the veil on until the shine faded away, you know. And he'd take it off. And then we'd go back and talk to the Lord. He wouldn't have the veil on. And he'd talk to him. And there he goes, face shining again. He had to put the veil back on, talk to the people. And the people weren't real happy about this. I mean, it was like, you know, this is hard to handle. Now, so what happens now, God uses that picture. He uses that picture. Now, remember, he's explaining in verse 17. He uses that picture and he applies it to explain verse 17. Okay, so he brings it to the current time and makes an application. All right, and here's the application. He goes, the people, now the people have the veil over their face so they can't see. You see what he did? Moses put it on his face, they couldn't see. Now the people have it over their face and they can't see. So he made the transition there. But he's making a point. He said, I want you to physically see what's happening. I want you to understand that. So yeah, you need to see what's physically happening. And then he says this. The people have a veil over their faces, and they cannot see the glory of God when the Old Testament is read. How many people would say this, like, was it talk about the Jews? Why can't they see it? I don't know what they can't. Well, he tell you, they have a veil. They can't see it. Every time they read the Old Testament, they have a veil. They can't see the glory of God. Why? Because they have a veil over their faces. Remember, we're working to verse 17 here. So, God, so that's the picture. We all got that. God says, you got that? Now God drops a spiritual bomb. Absolute spiritual bomb. So here it is. They got the veil over their faces. They can't see the glory of God. And then God says, only through Christ. In verse 14, he says, only through Christ is the veil taken away. What happened? People had the veil. They can't see the glory of God. Christ took it away. Now what happened? They see the glory. Do you know what happened? Church is born. The church is born. Right there, the church is born. It's not a religion. It's not a religion. The veil is taken away. Now they see the glory of God. And no rules and regulations on that. See, it's like, oh my God. But how, it says, through Christ, the veil is taken away. Now, if we just summarize it, God says, you see what I mean? And he said, that applies to everything. Why don't they see? They have a veil over their face. Well, let me explain and talk to them and walk them through it and like that. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. That's not the issue. The issue is not about what they know. It's about who they know. They have a veil. Until you move that veil, they can't even comprehend the glory of God. That's the way God intended. Well, how you get the veil away? Christ removes the veil. Period. I mean, it really simplifies things. Lord just simplified everything when he looked at this. So that's what he says. Only through Christ is the veil taken away. He uses the old covenant, the ministry of death, as an example to speak to us how that veil blocked the glory of God. So we take that example, and he says, now I'm going to tell you how I removed it. Christ removes it, and now you can see the glory of God. Answers your questions. Answer your question. It's funny how simple God puts it. So the church is born, and that's how it's born. That's how it's born. He removed the veil, and the church is born. He removes it through Christ. Now, God continues. God continues with verses 15 and 16. And I have an overhead here, I think. 15 is, so God continues with this same thing. Remove the veil. Now you have the example. You know what's going physically. He said, this is what's happened spiritually. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 15 and 16, it says this. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, that's the Old Testament. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to Jesus, the veil is removed. What's the issue? Education, world experiences. What's the issue? It's the veil that's over the heart that only Jesus can remove. Period. That is it. There's other places where it talks about, says, we'll talk about this next week. It's talking about that we are jars of clay. And he says, why? He says, because then you'll see the glories from God and not from you. Yeah, I just get a jar of clay. I remove the veil. Now you're the power of God working. See? And you won't have any credit to give anybody. What happened? He moved the veil. He entered in. And now the world changes. I mean, that's how he works. That's how he worked. And so we see it here. So I'm going to just read it again. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their heart. To this day. But when one turns to Jesus, the veil is removed. So new world, light. New world. That's just what happens right there. So we have Jesus removes the veil from our faces. Now, ready? We have a clear explanation of 2 Corinthians 3:17. This is it. This is where 2 Corinthians 3:17 falls. It comes now is when it comes. All from verse 7 here is to explain 2 Corinthians 3:17. You can't really understand 2 Corinthians 3:17 unless you understand the verses before it that we just talked about. The veil over Moses' face, the veil over the people's face, God removing the veil. You can't understand. And so once the veil is removed in Christ, then we have 2 Corinthians 3:17. Again, we have the overhead. Now, now, N-O-W, now, where'd you go now? Based on the verse 7 all the way through verse 16. Now, after those verses, after Christ removes the veil, now Jesus is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of Jesus is, there is freedom. There it is. It's all wrapped up right there. Everything is wrapped up in that box. He did it all. He removed the veil. He came in. And Jesus is the Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Spirit. And then it says this, and where the Spirit is, there is freedom. Only when the Spirit of Jesus is present is there freedom. We're free. You know, the Spirit of Jesus is present, you're free. There's an interesting verse, with several interesting verses, but this in Timothy, talking about the law. And it says, the law, you know, the law, all that thou shalt not, the law. And it says, the law, and I'm going to summarize, the law was made for unbelievers. Because you got to do something to control these folks. The law is made from unbelievers. What about believers? If the Spirit of God is, and no law. And no law. Well, wait a minute, you have to have a law. No, you have Jesus. You know what? You don't have a religion. You have Jesus. And where Jesus is present, you have freedom because you have Jesus. Now, without Jesus, you don't have freedom. Oh, my God. People without Jesus, you're free. Oh, you know, it's crazy. I mean, the whole thought of it is crazy. But again, you look at this. This is how we get it. He says, now you see, you understand. You understand what the problem is. You understand. You can't see. You can't see the glory of God. You can't see it at all. But when I move it, then you see the glory of God. And then what happens? Things change. Why? The veil's removed. You see Jesus. You see the glory. And all of a sudden, your functioning as a person changes. Only when the Spirit of Jesus is present, there is freedom. We are free under the ministry of the Spirit. Now, we are free under the ministry of the Spirit. See? Because he said, Jesus is the Spirit. Oh, okay. So, basically, we're free under the ministry of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. I firmly believe it. And this doesn't mean judgment on anybody else or anything. Anyone else, but I want y'all to be free. Okay? I just want, and you need to understand this. Yeah, be free. This is biblical Christianity Biblical Christian reality is God intended. This is it. This is church. This is church. Biblical Christian reality is God intended. The ministry of the Spirit. It's free. There's freedom because there's a ministry of the Spirit. What it says, Old Testament, ministry of condemnation. New Covenant, ministry of the Spirit. That's what he said. That's the comparison he's making here. And so he's trying to for us to understand and grasp the whole view of this. Whole view of this. And so you start thinking about things and how God functions and how he's working. And so what he's done here, he's explained to us what freedom is. By the way, he's totally explained the whole thing. I'm fighting whether to... that much of a fight, I'm going to let slide. Anyway, now we understand freedom. Now we understand freedom. I had a guy tell me one time, and I was reading, and it's true. He says, we are standing with unveiled faces looking at Jesus, and it changes us. How did it change? You know, just looking at Jesus, and you can't stand in his presence and not change. Now, some change by walking away, but you can't stand there. You change. You make a decision. And what's your decision? You stand in the presence of Jesus. That's it. That's period. And this is what this is saying here. So, now, we have this, and so I... Reinforce this, verse 17, what verse 17 says. I repeat it. I just love repeating things. Now, Jesus is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of Jesus is, there is freedom. Hallelujah. Now, look at verse 18, and verse 18 is connected to verse 17. Okay? They are together. They are together. But now, we can do verse 18 because of verse 17. Okay? I mean, that's what... Okay. I mean, verse 18 is good to preach on, but it's meant to be tied from 7 through 17. All right? So, now we're ready. Are you ready for what we do now? Freedom here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Here it is. Now listen closely. And we all... Say it. We all with what? Unveiled faces. Well, I've said, what does that mean? He says, good God, Wallace, I've been verse 7 all the way to 17 telling you what it meant. Now I'm just using it again. How the faces, Moses' face was veiled, the people's face was veiled. And he says, now you with unveiled faces. What does that mean? Now you see the glory. You see what he's doing? He goes, now you see the glory. Therefore, now you can have freedom because you see the glory. You have an unveiled face. And we all with unveiled face. That's huge. It ties verse 7 all the way through this. It's the same. It's one thing. It's one statement. Okay, and it just keeps on going. Now with unveiled face, beholding the glory of Jesus. What are we doing with that unveiled face? Beholding the glory of Jesus. We see him. Holy cow. We see. How we see? The veil's removed. We see Jesus. What does verse 17 say? Now, Jesus is the Spirit. Nor the Spirit of the Lord is. There's freedom. Oh, my God, now I see Jesus. There's freedom in seeing Jesus. Now I'm free because I see Jesus. And look, all tied together with unveiled face. We're all beholding. What do we see? We're beholding something. The glory of Jesus. That's what we see. That's what we see. Now, so we can see clearly, unveiled face, we see, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Then it goes on to say, and we all with unveiled face, beholding glory of Jesus, are being transformed. What do you mean? Unveiled face, we're beholding the Lord Jesus, and now we're being transformed. Can't stand in the presence of the Lord and not be changed. And we're being transformed. What's transforming us? We're standing in the presence of Jesus and seeing Him. Now, if you've heard me preach on this before, this is crazy. Transform. Do you know what word, English word, we get from transform? Some of you do. Do you know what English word we get from transform? Metamorphosis. Same word. Metamorphosis. What is metamorphosis? You change from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Caterpillars alive, butterflies alive. The Christian church is full of caterpillars. Gross. Gross. Oh, these caterpillars flying up my arm. You know, like, oh my God. This is terrible. See, but what happened, look at all these caterpillars beholding the glory of the Lord with unveiled faces are being transformed into butterflies. Transformed. That's a working process. Working process. So here's the... So here's this word. It's huge. It's unveiled face. You're beholding the glory of God. And we're being transformed from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And look, we all come out as caterpillars. That's how we accept Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And all these caterpillars are just praising Jesus. You know, they all want to go into the mission field. A whole mission field of caterpillars. You know, and everybody. Don't want to have anything to do with them. Plus the butterflies in the church. I mean, good God. You know, what a mess this is. What a mess. Full of cat. But God loves these caterpillars. And then you behold the glory of the God, and you're being transformed into a butterfly. It takes time, but He's starting to transform. You're alive. I mean, if you, man, somebody smash it, you go to heaven. You're alive. Oh, yeah? You're okay. All right? But God is transforming you into being a butterfly. Now look how look what He says. How long does it take for you to be a caterpillar to a butterfly? There's a whole process. Whole process. I was talking to a... they say this is true. Like, caterpillar... And they wrap in the cocoon. See, they also, that's something their little thing. What does a caterpillar do? I mean, you know, they're crawling all everything. But then they wrap up in the cocoon. And when they're a cocoon, everybody's rejoicing. Praise Jesus. They're just wrapped up in something. You know, the world's praising Jesus. It's God. You know, they're wrapped up. They ain't doing nothing. It's locked in. You know, church is happy and everything. You know, it's like... got some peace, you know, and they think God's left them, and they're alone, they're wrapped up, nobody's talking to them, it's wrapped up in this cocoon, you know, and then they develop, and then they break out of this thing, and they break out and fly. And fascinating thing, did you know if you get a cocoon, and say it's breaking out, and if you split the cocoon in, open it so they can get out, they die, because they can't fly. Because building up of the wings is when they're breaking out of the cocoon. They're breaking out, and they're fighting again and breaking, and they're building up all those muscles, so, and they get up, and then they can fly. And if you help them, then they can't fly. See, the cocoon has a purpose. See, metamorphosis. These caterpillars, praise Jesus, you know. These caterpillars are set there with a... beholding, with unveiled faces, beholding Jesus, and they're being transformed. They are rejoicing in Jesus, and they're being transformed, constantly transformed. God starts working with them to use them, so they're being transformed. Into what? Into what? They're being transformed. We said butterfly, but what are being transformed? Into the same image as Jesus. Well, how long does this go on? Jesus goes, until you look like me. As soon as you look like me, you're done. You know, God, when does this end? I mean, if you change anything, it might, but you know. You see what I'm saying? But we don't understand. Why can't I just do such and such? It's like, oh my God. You can't. You have to grow. You have to develop. You have to walk with me. And Peter says, you know, desire the him. I mean, Peter's like really worried about these people. He's listen. What you need? You need to desire the pure milk of the word. Now, other places it says, you know, I have to give you milk because you're too little for meat. So not really. That wasn't a really positive thing. See, you need some milk. You got to grow. But it explains the Christian life. It explains what we're going through. We're caterpillars. We get in a cocoon. We develop butterflies, you know. And the butterflies, and they're beautiful, and they're alive, and they can function because they were a caterpillar, and they were a cocoon, and they broke out of that cocoon. It's just saying it's a Christian life, you know. And back to verse 17. Now, Jesus is the Spirit. And with the Spirit of Jesus, there's freedom. but you see how this freedom's working? See how this freedom's working? It's, you got your eyes on Him, and if your eyes on Him, you can go through that caterpillar without just driving people crazy. And when you get in that cocoon, you're still growing in it, and you're not falling away, and then you break out. And then all of a sudden, you look like Jesus. That's the goal. That's the goal, to look like. Well, how long? Well, until you look like Jesus. That's, I mean, isn't that what it said? So, you're being transformed into the same image as Jesus. Now, you got to love this part of the verse. You got to love it. Into the same image as Jesus, from one degree of glory to another. There it is. From one degree, I got this Jesus. Not bad, but how about this other? Oh, I got it again. What else? I got it again. When does this stop? He goes, when you look like me, I'll stop. See, it's a constant degree, constant growing. And the things of it is, I mean, we pretty much think we got our act together, and God is just rejoicing He has us. See, and God, listen, I love you, but man, we need to do a little work here. And He will do the work, won't He? He will do. But He's the point of this is I'm sharing this. This is what He's doing in your life. I don't care where you are. Lord, I don't know why I was trucking along everything. And then this happened. Why? Because I want you to look like me. See? And it's not until you work through this will you look like me. Right here is what it's saying. So, we understand the process. Now again, we understand the process because of what He told us about Moses and the people. He gave us that example, you know, and He said, I got to get that veil off. Then He ends it with this. From one degree to another. Okay? How many times is it, why God? Why God? Why don't you take this away? Why don't you, God, I don't know. I got this. Let me get out of there. I won't do this again. Help me. And boy, I'm sailing here. You ought to just use me great. Why did this happen? You're not agreeing with my plan. Why do I go through this? Why? Look at the last sentence in the verse. The last sentence in the verse says, for this comes from Jesus, who is the Spirit. The caterpillar comes from Jesus. The cocoon came from Jesus. The struggle came from Jesus. And the breakout of the butterfly came from Jesus. That's why. It's there. All of Christianity is there, right there. Verse 17, hallelujah, I'm free. Mm-hmm. Oh, You better read the fine print. You better read verse 18. See? Because they all got together. But it's so exciting when you look at this. When you look at it, it's so exciting. It's like our life is not an accident. Our problems are not an accident. You know, people will say, well, God would never have anything bad happen to you. You know, and that sounds good. Well, God will never do anything bad to his people. Well, God, in our perspective. But when you look at this, I think, maybe he might. Maybe he might. You know, why? I mean, I'm a glory of God. Nothing happens to me. I'm in the glory of God. Nothing will go wrong. He goes, I'm really sick of looking at you as a little green caterpillar. I mean, I'm even tired of you. And I'm going to bring you out of that. And bad things are going to happen because discipline usually comes through bad things. Difficulties. You know, it says in the Bible, we go through the same suffering as Christ. You know, well, that's just metaphorical. No, that's an absolute physical truth. It's not metaphorical. And so what it is, but it's a develop. It's what you go through. What you go through, oh my God, there's so much pain, I can't stand it. Whoever has gone through this much pain? Jesus. Well, why do I? Because you need to learn to depend on me and persevere with me. See, I'm making you a butterfly. I'm making you a butterfly. That's what this is saying. And this comes from Jesus, who is the Spirit. All right. What do y'all think about that? I mean, I'm a why guy. And you know I'm a complainer. I talk to God. Sometimes Linda tells me, says, you shouldn't talk to God like that. I said, well, he's okay with me talking to him. I am talking to him. But it's like, I do a lot. Tell you what? Now listen, enough's enough. You know, okay, you know, and I even do this, I'll be a little facetious, but say, God, I just, you know, I don't have to look just like Jesus. You know, I can just, you know, I could have some defects. You know, I'm happy with my defects. If you just get out of this, let me help me out of this. You know, I don't want to, I can be kind of a crippled butterfly. I'm good with that. You know, so I have these conversations with God, which he pays absolutely no attention to, you know. But he really does speak to me and confirms, okay, this is, oh, and so I tell you something. Oh, don't do this. I'm telling you, don't do this. I have said several times, I said, Lord, I can't stand this anymore. It's enough. You know what happens? I'm telling you, just me. Every time I say that, it gets worse. And I do stand it. See, I knew you would. I'm dead serious. I'm being funny, but I'm not being funny. It's like, God, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It can't get worse. And it gets worse. It's like, I did stand it. You know, yeah, I knew you would. You just need to know it. See? And you don't have any idea what's coming. And I'm going to use this somewhere down the line. You know, it's like, oh, this is where I want to pray for y'all. I said, Lord, why don't you use some of these other folks and just use them? I will delegate my suffering, you know, and I would be happy with them suffering for you, you know. Anyway, I do have these conversations. But God clarifies stuff to me. I also read the scripture, and he really clarifies it through that. So here we have. I'm going to go back to what the guy said. You can't stand in the presence of Jesus and not change. It cannot happen. It's not going to happen. Stuff is going to happen. And God is using stuff in your life that's tailor-made for you to serve him for all eternity. I am totally convinced the trials that we suffer through here, the difficulties we suffer through here, and the growth we have here on earth carries for all eternity. Bible is full of statements of for reward, full of statements, you know, of blessing for eternity. So I think this time on earth is kind of a little bit of trial so we can function better in eternity and kind of have a better, you know, understanding and relationship with God for all eternity. It's not just here. You know, it's for all eternity. And he'll use things like for all eternity. And this also explains why God would say, it's just incomprehensible otherwise, why God would say, rejoice in your trials. My first thing, get out of here. God, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, this is the worst trial I've ever been through in my life, God. He says, no, you think that's bad? Wait till you go through this one. Lord, I'm done. What have I done? All right. But why, God, whatever. I know you're using this. I praise you for it. I rejoice in my trials. Okay, now you're starting to understand that I'm working in you to do something that you can never imagine. We'll go to next week's verse. We're a jar of clay. So they'll know the glories not from you, but from me. What do you think? You're walking, oh, there's a jar of clay. Yeah, but glory must be from God. No, it's when you're going through absolute devastating things and you stand strong with God and God works through you. You say, oh, my God. Look at that. He's standing through that. See? So the whole picture of the realm, God is working in our life. Now, you probably never dream when you start the message off, there is freedom. Yeah, we're free. We're free. You know, well, I'm just going to, and we're free from the sin inside us. We're free. Now, you're free. You're cleansed. Well, I can free and do anything I want to. He said, I have at it, God. Oh, you know, I'll bring some mean trials in your life. You won't be able to breathe, you know, because you need to make a decision for me. Well, you're making the decision for sin. I'll make you make a decision for me that you need me to bring you out of this. See? And so there's a lesson going on. There's a lesson going on that the law can never do. Why? Because the law condemns. God doesn't condemn. He disciplines. He transforms. He makes us from caterpillars to butterflies. See, that's why how he works. The law condemns. The law condemns. So, what we have here, now, as I said, thus, where the Spirit of Jesus is, there is transformation and freedom. Listen, I'm just telling you, if you are a Christian, there's transformation. Now, you can run from it. I mean, you can just go anywhere you want to because there's freedom, you know. And God said, okay, I'll just continue to teach you all the way to the very end, you know. And your life can be totally full of trials, fighting God from however you want to fight it. You know, caterpillars. Kind of like being caterpillars, you know. If that's where you want to stay, you can stay there. You're in the kingdom. I kind of wonder sometimes, all eternity is a caterpillar? You just kind of, what the level of function is that for eternity? Because it says you're eternity, but it does say there's rewards. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive rewards, you know, for all eternity. So it's, however, God has to work that out. So, know that there's transformation. There's freedom. There's freedom, but there's transformation. See, so now we understand. Look, I said, you stand in the presence of the Lord. You know, and you can't have, everybody, nobody can stand in the presence of the Lord and not be changed. I mean, you take the most awfulest person, where they stand in, it's like, I don't want to be here, you know. Are you drawing that? Oh, my God, you know, I want to know, you know, Lord. So now, as I say that, we all realize that Jesus dwells in us. Okay. I mean, I think spending time with the things of the Lord he puts around us is a functional, physical thing that really helps. But the reality is with Spirit of the Lord is present there. He's in us. So he's functioning within us. And so God is saying, be occupied with me and let me function through you. Let me function through you. Okay? And so we know that. Amen? He is in us. But to use the example on the outside to see how it functions, so which we can see, but we know it's on the inside. Now, knowing it's on the inside, and this is religion, so it's freedom. It's like, I'm free to, you know, I'm going to run through the fields and throwing flowers over my head, I'm free. Yeah, but you know, you're going to be some lessons in that freedom as I transform you from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Okay, the life. Oh, by the way, what God uses is life. The life, your life. God, why did you give me this? It's your life. It's your story. You are to function in your life and glorify me in your. That's your purpose. Is God using it? That's your assignment. That's your assignment. To glorify me in your life where you are at that time. Okay, but Christ is in us. And he is teaching us and leading us. Therefore, I'm going to close with these, but I want us to look at them in a different light. I want us to look at him. Christ is in us. We are totally free. There's no law. There is no law. The Bible says, Romans 10:4, it says, Jesus took away the law. The law is gone. It is gone. Okay? And just don't put your law on me. It's gone. Okay? But I'm free. But why am I free? Because the presence of the Lord is here. Okay? That's why I'm free. Okay? And so you're working in the presence of the Lord. So as you're working in the presence of the Lord, things function differently. Things function differently. Now, with praise God, the Bible says we have the law for everybody that doesn't believe. But for believers that walk with me, I'm working through you, inside you. And so, we have it, we understand, okay, we're all good, the same page. Christ is working through us, transforming us from degree to degree to look like him. Look like him. You know, not somebody else. Oh, I look just like him. He said, well, that won't be a big trip. You should look at me. It's a longer trip there, you know. So, and he tells us not to do that. But I'm going to just read off three verses. You can put them up. I put three verses of Galatians on one overhead here. Okay, so taking all this, we know we're being transformed degree to the image of Christ, to walk with him and be led by him. And so Paul says in Galatians, he says, this is how you function in freedom. This is how you function in freedom. Okay? Galatians 5:16. But I say, be occupied by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Oh, my God, I can't do that. Oh, that's awful. I do this often. Oh, I can't do that. God, oh, I can't. I wish I wouldn't do that. Thinking on the wrong thing. Be occupied with the Spirit. And what? What happens when you're occupied with the Spirit? Somebody tell me. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because he ain't thinking about it. You make a decision. Galatians 5:18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We ain't got a law. It's dead. That's right. You don't need it. You need the law. You're not under the law because you're led by the Spirit. You're prompted from the heart, not from the law. You're prompted from within to obey Christ. It comes from your heart. You're occupied with the Spirit. You're being led by the Spirit, and he guides you. That's what happens in freedom. Galatians 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I love that. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step. Okay, Spirit, where are you going? What are you saying? Okay, it keeps our degree. But okay, where are you? Okay, all right. Oh my God, this is the worst jam I've ever been to my whole life. God, what are you doing? Get me out of this. You've forsaken me. All right. Oh, okay, a lot going on. Show me what you're doing. Okay, I'll take this step. 1 degree, I'll take this step. Okay, I think, oh my God, I'm starting to see all sorts of things happening. See? But it comes out of a point darkness, hurt, and pain, you know, and you come through it, and you come through it, and God uses you as he refines you. And I use this as an example. All of us have been blessed with, most of us, I should say, all blessed with lovely little children, okay? Raise them. And they're all perfect. I know that. Now, if you wanted some advice on raising children, would you want to talk to someone who has raised children or someone who doesn't have them? You want somebody who raised them. Even if they mess up, they say, you shouldn't have done this, I'm telling you. See, you know, you want someone's experience. And God says, you know, I'm going to work in you, you know, and you're going to give experience. And people say, I want to know something because you've been through it and you've persevered and you trusted in the Lord. And I can see, even in the dark times, that you're trusting in the Lord. I want to know what's going on. See, that means there has to be dark times. That means there has to be difficult times, you know. I never had a problem in my life. Come and talk to me. I'll give you some of my blessing. I mean, y'all right now want to walk out of here. That's just putrid, you know. No, you talk to somebody who's been through something, you know, and they can speak to you. Speak to you about that problem. You know, it talks off in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and it talks about that very thing. Is that he brings things upon us to train us to share with others. Well, I love Jesus. I don't need anything go wrong with me. And it's a, God goes, I've heard enough out of you, caterpillar. Oh, see, that's what he done. And so, does he reject us? No, he teaches us. And he'll bring problems in our life to teach us. Self-righteous people are people who've usually been judgmental and never been through nothing. Just saying. Does that make sense? That makes sense. So what we have here, there is freedom. There is freedom. Be occupied, be led, and be keep in step. There's freedom. Okay? Here, freedom. But you can do any. No. There's freedom. Be occupied, the things of Christ. Be led as Christ moves us, and keep in step. He goes, and there's no law. But no law. See? He says, I'm telling you, but there is freedom. But here's the other side of the coin. In freedom, God goes, you're mine. I'm going to make you a butterfly. What you're going through right now, God's making you a butterfly. That's exactly what he's doing, or he's not God. He's making you a butterfly, and he has a purpose for you here. But he has a purpose. There's something in eternity for butterflies. I don't know what it is. There's something in eternity for caterpillars. God bless them. But there's something in eternity for butterflies. And what are butterflies? I can't, God. You can't. I trust you. I want to hear you. I want to hear you. That's the reason you get earthen vessels. So people know it's not from you. It's from me. And they don't have any question. You don't have any question. Amen? And here's where we start. Here's where we start. Always start here. We want this bare bones start. 1 Corinthians 2:2. Paul, who wrote all this, 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's your argument. Then let them just witness everything else. Yeah. Don't argue about nothing. But be willing to die for this, you know. And then God goes, it's good. That's good. That's this. And when Paul, who wrote everything I said to you this morning, Paul wrote. He wrote. And he's the one who said this. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ crucified. Because he takes the veil off. You know, we can't go any place until he takes the veil off. Now, if he takes the veil off, we can have some conversation. We'll talk about it, you know. But until he takes the veil off, we can't go any place. And, you know, I'm not going to spend too much time with you either. You know, I mean, if you want to talk about it, I'll be happy. I'm going to be nice and stuff. But you got to know this is the foundation. This is the foundation of everything. And God's people said, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your, Lord, we thank you for your word. My gosh, that you are so active in our lives, that you are transforming us from caterpillars to butterflies. Lord Jesus, it's beyond our comprehension. And the whole thing is you want us to depend on you, to depend on you and see you working and follow you. And God, I just thank you for that. And so, Lord, I just pray for each person here. I pray you touch each person here in a supernatural way to encourage them. And I know everybody here is going through difficulties of different kinds, of all kinds of family, job, everything. And that you are in that, God. You are working to show yourself strong. And God, I pray you give each person grace. It's they look and ask, okay, God, exactly. Let me see what you're doing, and let me just depend on you and know that you are my teacher to stand for you. And so we thank you for that. And so, Lord, we give you the glory who gave us all things. All things. You paid the penalty for our sins. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.